Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's all I wish to read. We will be quoting and referring to other scriptures and passages from the Bible. But there's enough in this verse to speak to your heart tonight if you're not saved. Peter was preaching in the first century, and after the first century of this age, from the time of Christ, and he said these words, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Peter was referring, if we took time to read chapter 3 and chapter 4, Peter was referring to the Lord Jesus. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I want to notice in this verse, first of all, the reality of salvation. Thank God there is a salvation for sinners. And we want to notice the necessity of salvation. He said we must be saved. And we want to notice the uniqueness of the Savior who provides the salvation. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Savior, and there's only one way of salvation. Now maybe you're wondering, what's this all mean anyway? Maybe the person that invited you to the meeting tonight has already told you how God saved them. They might have told you that a few years ago, there was a tent pitched up on the Henry Farm, up on the end of Ash Street, and the person attended the tent, and they heard some men preaching in the tent, and the Bible was read every night, and the preacher said that a person needed to be saved in order to be in heaven. And the preacher said a person could be saved in order to be in heaven. And the preacher said from the Word of God, a person can know that they're saved. They don't have to wait until they die to see if they get to heaven. And maybe that person that invited you to the meeting tonight actually told you that when they first heard that message, they were a little upset. Or they may have been angry. And they were going to start reading the Bible to prove the preacher's wrong. But the more they started to read, the more they were convinced that the preachers were right. And they were wrong. Dear friend, the message hasn't changed. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're not saved, if you're not sure of eternal life, if you're not sure of being on the road to heaven, you're lost. Dear friend, I say it kindly, you're lost and you're on the road to hell. You might use that word hell as a swear word, but it's real. I met a person in Timmins in the past year who had been using the word hell as a swear word. And then when I reminded him that there was a real place, he said, no, he said, there's no such place. It's here on earth. The devil has people so deceived. They'll use words from the Bible in a blasphemous way. And all the time, they don't even believe what they're saying. You need to be saved. Thank God that in this verse we have the reality of salvation pointed out. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. That's telling us that there is a salvation in someone. There is a salvation. There is a way of escape. There is a way out. There is a future. We don't have to face the unknown with fear. We can be sure of being in heaven. A long time ago, in the journeys, the history of the Israelites, the children of Israel, they had been slaves in Egypt. God is going to deliver them out of Egypt by Moses. You've heard of him. They are delivered out of Egypt, and they're moving at nighttime, guided by a pillar of fire in the sky. And they get to the shores of the Red Sea. Now what are we going to do? No boat, no raft, no barge. Too far to swim. And they look behind and they see the dust clouds coming from the Egyptian chariots pursuing. They look to the north and they see mountains. They're hemmed in on all sides. And they cry to Moses and they say, why did you leave us in Egypt to die? We're going to perish here in the wilderness. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. The Lord shall fight for you. Hold your peace. There was a salvation for those people that day. Moses takes his rod and he holds it, strikes it over the waters, and those waters part, and a highway is made across the Red Sea. And the Israelites walk through safely to the other side. The Egyptians, they charged in. But God rolls the mighty waters back again, and the Egyptian army is buried, never to be seen again. But there was salvation for the Israelites. Is there salvation for sinners tonight? Neither is there salvation in any other. There is salvation in the Lord Jesus. Paul preached in Corinth, a city in Greece long ago, and he could say the preaching of the cross, the word about the cross, the message of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to those that are lost a foolish message. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Paul divided his company in two. There were those who were perishing. They were lost. There were those who were saved. Where do you stand tonight? Are you saved? Oh, you say, mister, I was baptized when I was just a baby. I didn't ask you that. I said, are you saved? You might be interested to note that you can search this Bible, and I offer $1,000 for anyone who can find it, where it tells us of babies being baptized, and where it tells us that a person getting baptized that way, anyways, would get to heaven. You won't find it here, dear friend. You need to be saved. You're not saved, you're lost. But there is salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there is a salvation. And we come now to the necessity of salvation. Peter says we must be saved. Oh, but Peter, are you just talking to the drunks in the city? Oh, no. Peter says we all must be saved. Peter might say you've heard of that Saul of Tarsus. He needed to be saved. He was a religious man. He studied the Bible. But he found out that he wasn't saved, that he was lost. You heard of Nicodemus? He found out that he needed to be born again. Jesus said to him one night, "You must be born again." Paul preached in Acts 17. He says, "We must repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent." It says in John 3, in verse 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Are you saved? You need to be saved. If you don't get saved, you'll never be in heaven. Oh, you might attend church. You may have been confirmed and all kinds of other things. But if you've never been born of God, you're lost and you're on the road to hell. Peter says there's only one Savior. He says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Savior, Peter would say. He'd say, "I can't save you." And you know, he was just able to say to a man who was unable to walk, he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command thee to arise and walk." And that man was given strength to walk. And Peter was able to raise another person to life. A woman who had died, her name was Dorcas, Peter was able to raise her to life by the power of the Lord Jesus. He was a great man, but he couldn't save anybody. He needed to be saved himself. Paul was a great man, but Paul needed to be saved. Dear friend, you need to be saved. Because before God tonight, you're a poor, helpless sinner, lost, and God sees you in all your sin. And you think you're real good, maybe. But Isaiah says we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You need to be saved, and you can't get saved in your own merits. There's only one Savior. In 1 Timothy 1 and 15 it says this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." He's the one that came. And he's the only one that came. And he's the only one that could come. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In chapter 2 of that same letter, Paul says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Did you ever hear that verse before? There is one God. You believe that, don't you? There is one God and one mediator. A mediator. An umpire. Someone that can come between two parties who are at a distance. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other mediator. There's only one. There's no woman, be it the virgin. There's no man, be it the Pope, or any preacher, or any priest that can be the mediator between God and man. For there is one God and one and only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And the Lord Jesus himself pointed out his uniqueness as the Savior in John 14 and 6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Have you ever come to the Father? Through the Lord Jesus. I can look back to a time when, as a boy of 11 and a half years of age, when I came to the Father through the Son. I was a sinner, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, away from God. I sinned. I had heard the gospel. I knew that God loved me and that Christ died for me. But it was all facts in my head. I had never received Him personally until the 28th of February, 1962, when I said, Jesus, I come. He invited me to come. He says in John 6:37, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I took Him at His word as a young boy. He's inviting me to come, and I've been too proud and stubborn and rebellious to come. But I want to come tonight. And I came as I was, a sinner. And He saved me. Have you ever come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus? In the Bible, we have many examples of people who came. We have many examples of people who got saved. I love the story in Acts chapter 16. If you have never read it, you read it tonight. Paul and Silas were gospel preachers, and they were preaching in the city of Philippi in Macedonia, north of Greece. And they were preaching that people needed to be saved. And what a stir it made in that city, because the people were idol worshippers. They didn't know God. And Paul and Silas preached about the Lord Jesus coming from heaven and dying on the cross for sinners and for sin. And it caused a stir. There was one young woman who was demon-possessed. And she started to follow them. And she started to say, These are the servants of the Most High God which show unto us the way of salvation. God doesn't need the devil to do His advertising. Finally, Paul looks upon her and he commands the evil spirit to leave her in the name of the Lord Jesus. The evil spirit comes out of that dear young woman. She's unable to do her fortune telling anymore. And the men who were using her were angry. And so they laid hold of Paul and Silas, and they were put in prison for preaching the gospel, for telling people how to get to heaven. Can you imagine? But those men were in prison, and they're using the time to praise God and to pray. They're not in there complaining that their backs are all whipped and torn and bleeding and sore. They're praising and praying. And it says the prisoners heard them. The prisoners had all ears listening. The jailer was outside the cell. He must have heard them too. But he fell asleep. And at midnight, God shook the very foundations of that jail. The doors flew open. And the bands flew off the men. The jailer woke up, and he pulls out his sword. He's going to take his life, because he expected all the prisoners had fled. Paul says, Do thyself no harm, we're all here. Out of the darkness, Paul had cried that. And that jailer realized that night, this God that these men have been praising and praying to, is a God who knows all about me. And I think that man that night realized I'm a poor sinner lost. And I'm going out to meet this God one day, and I'm not ready. And the fear of God gripped his heart. And he came in and he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Is there someone here? And you could be like that jailer. fall down before Christ, as it were, and say, "What must I do to be saved?" The two preachers were in unison. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." The jailer got saved, and he took them home. Maybe you've got a husband, and he's not saved. Maybe you have a wife, and she's not saved. You've got family members, and they're not saved. You could be an influence in them getting saved if you got saved tonight. The jailer takes Paul and Silas out of the prison, locked it up, and he told the boys that were there to stay there. "I'll be back." He left the jail unattended. He takes them to his home in the middle of the night. It was after midnight. He wakes his wife up and his family. He says, "Dear, get up. I want you to put some food on the table for these men." He gets a basin and he washes their wounds. And he says to Paul and Silas, he said, I want you to tell my wife and my children what you told me back in the jail." And so with joy, Paul and Silas would tell them of the Lord Jesus, God's Son, who came from heaven. He died on the cross, and God punished him because of our sin. And that if we accept that fact for ourselves, we can be saved. Saved now and saved forever. You know something? Mrs. Jailer believed the message. And all the little jailers, they all got saved that night. What a happy home! God came in. Salvation came to their house. Dear friend, if salvation came to your house tonight, your house would never be the same again. Because we read in Luke chapter 19, the Lord Jesus says to a man up a tree named Zacchaeus, he says, "Come down from that tree, Zacchaeus, for today I must abide at your house." And he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He says, salvation is come to your house today. And Zacchaeus, he too got saved. A missionary walked into the room of a man in Australia. He noticed an oyster shell up on the mantle. And in that shell was a gospel paper. And he says, "What's this?" The owner of the home was a diver. "Oh," he said. He says, "That's precious to me." He says, "I was diving one day. And," he says, "when I went down to the ocean floor, I saw this oyster perched on a rock. And there was the paper in its mouth. So," he said, "I took the oyster off the rock and took the paper out. And looking through my goggles underwater," he said, "I read this gospel paper. It told me about God's love and how he sent his son to die for me on the cross." And he said, "I thought, God is speaking to me down here in the bottom of the ocean." You know what he did? He accepted the Lord Jesus as a Savior. He got saved. That was the day salvation came to his house. Dear friend, listen to our text. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved."